这是读经的第四堂。
This is the fourth lesson of the study of Genesis.
我们同样，我们用祷告来开始这一堂的聚会。
And we likewise start this meeting with the word of prayer.
恩主，我们再一次要享受安息在你自己的话语中。
Dear Lord, we have to enjoy and bury ourselves in your words.
愿你亲自用你真理的圣灵来向我们启示。
We pray that you will reveal to us through your own Holy Spirit.
引导我们进入真理。
To lead us into the truth.
这样子祷告是靠耶稣基督的圣名。
We pray in Jesus Christ's precious name.
Amen. 我们打开圣经，先看出埃及记十二章。
Let's turn to our Bible, Exodus chapter 12.
四十节。
Verse 40.
出埃及记十二章四十节。
Exodus chapter 12, verse 40.
这里说以色列人住在埃及共有四百三十年。
Now the length of time of the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years.
好，我们再翻到出埃及记第七章第七节。
Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 7, verse 7.
刚才那节经文，请我们注意，你首先翻着哈，在出埃及以前，歌辖的后裔在埃及有四百三十年。好，现在看到出埃及第七章第七节。
Exodus chapter 7, verse 7.
摩西、亚伦与法老说话的时候，摩西八十岁。
Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83.When they spoke to Pharaoh.
好，第三处经文，请我们翻到民数记第三章二十八节。
Third passage was in Numbers chapter 3, verse 28.
民数记第三章二十八节。
Numbers 3:28.
二十七节开始，这里说，开始说，属歌辖的有暗兰族、以斯哈族、希伯伦族、乌薛族，这是歌辖的诸族。二十八节说。按所有男子的数目，从一个月以外看守圣所的，共有八千六百名。
Starting from verse 27, the Kohath belonged to the clans of Amorite, Esrarite, Hebronite, and Uzzarite. Those were the Kohathite clans. The numbers of the, all the males a month old or more was 8,600. The Kohathites were responsible for the cares of the sanctuary.
好，再跳到民数记四章三十六节，总共只有这四节经文。
And the last area is chapter 4.
四章三十六节。
Number chapter 4, 36.
从三十五节开始说，从三十岁到五十岁，凡前来任职的，这里是指三十四节那里说，摩西、亚伦与会众的。诸首领将歌辖的子孙照着家世宗族，从三十岁直到五十岁，凡前来任职在会幕会幕里办事的，都数点了。三十六节说，被数的共有2750名。
Okay, starting from verse 35, all the men from 30 to 50 years of age who came to serve in the work of the tent of meeting, counted by clans, were 2750. This was the total of all those in the Kohathite clan.Who served in the tent of meeting? Moses and Aaron counted them according to the law, to the Lord's command through Moses.
埃及，以色列民在埃及四百三十年。
The Israelites spent 430 years in Egypt.
在出埃及的时候，摩西那时候年八十岁。
When they left Egypt, Moses was 80 years old.
他是歌辖的孙子。
And he was the grandchildren was Kohath.
在三代中间。数算歌辖他的子孙有八千六百位。
If you count the descendants of Kohath, there were three generations, and altogether was 8,600 people.
那其中三十岁到五十岁的男丁有2750个。
And from all the males from age of 30 to 50 was a total of 2,750.
圣经是这样记载。
The Bible recorded it this way.
我们当然要如此相信。
Of course, we have to believe it as such.
但是当我们如此相信的时候，产生一个困难。
But if we believe as such, we have a difficulty.
这个可能吗？
Is it possible?
三代的人有八千六百名。
And there are altogether 8,600 people from three generations.
那我们有这个疑问放在心中。
So we have this question in our heart.
为此缘故，我们要来谈到这个年代日子到底是怎么样一种算法。
So now we have to talk about the years and the dates. How was these counted?
关于族谱有基本上有四个基本的原则。
As to the genealogies, there are altogether four general principles we need to know.
一般人对于族谱，他们有两种假设。
For most people, they do have two assumptions towards genealogy.
或者说对年数有两种假设。
Or you can say that they have two assumptions towards dates.
有一种假设是这样子说的。
The first assumption says,
当圣经中谈到的这一些人名字的时候，不是指人的一个人的名字，是指一个族的名字。
And when the Bible mentioned a name, that's not the name of the person, it's a main, it's a name of a clan.
所以如果是一个族的名字，可能那个族的年限是比较长。
So if they mention the name of the clan, so possibly this clan lasts a long time.
但这里会有问题。
But that's a difficulty too.
当我们看到创世纪第五章，以诺被主接去。
And you study in Genesis chapter 5, Enoch was received by God.
这里说以诺与神同行三百年。
So Enoch walked with God 300 years.
在22节。
Verse 22.
然后23节说以诺共活了365岁。
And altogether, Enoch lived 365 years.
当以诺被神活了365岁以后，圣经说，24节，神就把他取去。
After he lived 365 years, Enoch was taken away by God.
如果以诺这个名字是一个族名，那不可，我们无法失忆。
So we could, if Enoch was the name of the clan, we cannot imagine what happened.
上帝不可能是把整族的人带走，乃是以诺被主接走了。
It's not possible for the Lord to take away the whole clan. It was only one person, Enoch himself.
所以这是一个错误的假设。
So that was a wrong assumption.
那附带一提的是，有人说在创世纪里面没有谈到死后的复活的生命，死后人死后的问题。
There are some people who say that no one has mentioned that. No, Genesis has not mentioned what happened after the person died.
事实上在旧约里面至少有三处，这是其中的一个地方谈到死后生命的问题。
But in fact, there are three different places in the Old Testament that talk about what happened after a person dies. This is one of the places.
以诺是被神取去。
Enoch was taken away by God.
他没有经历死亡。
He has not experienced death.
那我们今天说人死了以后是怎么样呢？
Today we talk about what happened to a person when he died.
我们说人死了以后是与神同在。
We say that when he dies, he will be with God.
以诺也是与神同在。
Enoch was the same way, he was with God.
只是他没有经历在肉体上的死。
Just that he did not experience a physical death.
那我们一般的人经历肉体的死，但是当我们死了以后也是与神同在。
But for most of us, we will experience a physical death, but after this death, we will be with God.
圣经里面还有一位是主把他取走的是哪一位？
There was another person who was being taken away by God. Who was this?
以利亚，所以在空中就跟着火车火马就上去了，那是主把他带走。
It was Elijah. He was taken away by the chariot of fire.
那所以当我们谈到说死后的问题，其实旧约已经有根据。
So
这是死后的生命。
So actually, the Bible did mention what Old Testament it mentioned what happened after a person died.
好，再回来另外第二种错误的假设是说年代呢？年数或者是这种年岁跟数目的一些与数目有关系。
Another assumption is to do with counting the numbers.
比如中国人说对我们来讲12是一个很好的数目。
For the Chinese people, it's like 12 is a very good number.
那在西方或者在圣经神学里面10是一个好的数目，3是一个好的数目，7我们说是一个 wrong number。
In Western culture, the number 10 is a good number, number 3 is also a good number, but number 7 is not a good number.
所以这一派的假设就是说，在圣经里面像，亚当活到930岁，那么这些岁数呢，可能跟这些 wrong number 有关系。
So when you talk about the number of, the age of a person like Adam lived to 930 years, it might be a wrong number.
所以可能这个数字呢，跟十、跟十二、跟七。有关系。
So this number might have something to do with the number 12 or 3 or 7.
所以他们的假设是把这些数目当作一个因素。
So they were using these numbers as a factor.
假定是如此，亚当930岁，那么他们的因素是十或者是十二。
So if assuming that Adam did live to 930 years, so they have a factor that might be a 10, it might be a 12, it might be a 3.
那如果照这样来算，亚当就可以算成只有93岁或者只有77岁。
If you count it this way, that you can count him like he actually only had, he was only 77 years old or 93 years old.
但是如果这样算，也会遇到问题。
So if you count it this way, you would have problem too.
我们看创世纪十一章二十四节。
We can look at Genesis chapter 11 and verse 24.
十一章二十四节。
Yeah, Genesis 11:24.
这里说拿赫活到二十九岁，生了他拉。
Nabor had lived 25 years. He became the father of Terah.
那当然，如果要算亚伯拉罕，到了九十九岁，快一百岁，那个他的撒拉，到了九十九岁才有小孩，那么也是有困难。
So if you look at it this way, and then you can, we kind of recall that Sarah, the wife of Abraham, when Abraham was 99 years old and they had a son, you have a difficulty here too.
如果拿赫二十九岁就生的小孩他拉，那么照十跟十二是因素的话，他必定是在两点九岁或者两点四岁的时候就生的孩子。
So if we use a factor, a 10 or the 9 or 10 or 12 experience to explain this, that Nabor might have a son when he was 2.9 years old.
所以唯一的解释就是那时候他们所用的年所用的日跟我们今天一般的用法是没有什么差别的。
So the only possible explanation was that at that time the numbers of years and days that they used should not be that much different from what we use today.
那如果没有什么差别，那到底这四个基本的原则应当怎么样来说呢？
So there's not much difference. How should we look at these principles of counting and genealogy?
好，在圣经的这种数字游戏，在圣经的这种年代里面有四个基本原则。第一个是他们在写到这些年代年日的时候，第一种方法是用摘要的方式 abridgment。
So the first principle is that they, when you talk about days and years, they use a method called abridgment.
通常圣经作者在写到人名或者写到年代，他们不愿意多花更多的篇幅记载到更多的人，以妨碍他们要表达的基本的内容跟信息。
A lot of Bible writers, when they came to a name and his age, they did not want to spend a lot of paragraphs talking about more people.
所以他们在这些人物中间就必须要有所挑选。
So they have to choose a person out of a group of people.
他们不愿意用更多的篇幅、更多不必要的累赘的字来描述一个基本的事实，这是一个基本的摘要的原则。
Because basically, they don't want to use a lot of paragraphs to describe just one truth.
第二个原则是省略。
The omission. The first principle is omission.
第一个是 abridgment, 第二个是 omission.
The second way to doing is omission.
那在圣经中有很多省略的，我可以给我们几个例子。
There are a lot of examples in the Bible that use a method of omission, and we can have some examples here.
譬如在马太福音第一章第八节。
For example, Matthew chapter 1, verse 8. Gospel of Matthew.
马太福音第一章第八节，在中间那里有一段族谱这样说：约兰生乌西亚。
And this genealogy is recorded in here and said, Jerome, the father of Uzziah.
那如果我们去看列王记下第二章
，If you look at Second Chronicle chapter 2,
你可以先记下来第八章二十五节。
And you can also write it down ahead of time. And also chapter 8, verse 25.
列王记下第十二章第一节。
And also chapter 12, verse 1.
列王记下第十四章第一节。
And 2 Kings chapter 40.
那你去看这三处的经文，你就发现在约兰跟乌西亚中间漏掉三个王。
And you can notice that between Jerome and Uzziah, they have omitted three different kings.
忽略掉了，省略掉了亚哈谢，省略掉了这个约阿斯，省略掉了这个亚玛谢。
There's three different kings that they have omitted out.
所以这是第二个原则，在圣经作者在他的族谱中可能会有一些省漏。
So this is another technique, which is omission, that the writer of the scripture would deliberately left out certain names.
马太福音第一章十一节。
Matthew chapter 1, verse 11.
同样的，这里提到说约西亚生耶哥尼亚。
And here it says
十一节。
那 Josiah the father of Jeconiah。
好，约西亚生耶哥尼亚。同样的，如果你去看列王记下23章34节。
And also, if you look at 2 Kings chapter 23,
在约西亚跟耶尼哥中间也漏掉了以利亚敬一个国王。
And they also left out one king in between Jeconiah and Josiah.
那很简单的，你看马太福音第一章第一节。
So very simply, you can look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1.
耶稣的家谱只有两句话就把它写完了。
According to the genealogy of Jesus, only said he only spent two statements.
那中文是这样写，亚伯拉罕的后裔，大卫的子孙，耶稣基督的家谱。如果你看英文原文是这样子，耶稣基督的家谱，他是大卫的儿子，是亚伯拉罕的儿子。那同样的 ，the son of David, the son of Abraham.
In English, it was saying the record of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
耶稣跟大卫的年代是相差1000年。
And there are 1,000 years in between the time of Jesus and the time of David.
可是只有一句话，大卫的儿子。一千岁，差一千岁。
But the only one sentence was recorded down. It was the son of Christ, the son of David.
基督跟亚伯拉罕至少差了2000年到2200年。
And there was at least 2,000 years to 2,200 years of difference between Abraham and Christ.
所以亚伯拉罕的孙子不可能在只差两代就2200年。
And it is impossible that there was only two generations and it spent the years of 2,000 years.
那这是一个省略的问题。
So this is the matter of omission.
第三个通常用到的原则是 generation, 是一种世代的原则。
First principle is the principle of generation.
圣经里面常常谈到我们这一代，他那一个世代，这一个世代，另后再来的世代。
The Bible always talks about this generation, that generation, or the generation to come.
那有时候那个世代的算法也不同。
A lot of times, the way of counting generation would be different too.
我们今天的世代很可能是15岁、20岁，通常是20岁、30岁算一代。
A lot of times, today's world we count like 15 to 20 years to be a generation.
所以，比如以我这一代对青年人，听来就是说，哎，你们那一代的跟我们这一代的不同。
So if I look at a bunch of teenagers, their generation is different from my generation.
但如果在创世纪跟出埃及记那个时候，他们的一代差不多是100年到120年。
In the time of Genesis and Exodus, one generation spans about 100 to 200 years.
那我们对代的观念跟他们对代的观念是不一样的。
Our concept towards generation is very different from their concept of generation.
所以这样的观念影响我们对年代的认识。
So this kind of concept kind of influences the way that we look at. Generation to genealogy to.
好，第四方面。
And the fourth aspect.
圣经里面最多，而且也常常我们最需要来注意的就是这一段。
The most common things in the Bible is what we're going to look at now.
所以我们回到创世纪第五章跟第十一章。
So let's turn back to Genesis chapter 5 and also chapter 11.
在创世纪第五章跟第十章这里提到两大段很重要的家谱。
Chapter 5 and chapter 10, they were recorded down two account of very important genealogies.
这两段的家谱有一个重要的基本格式。
They have a very basic common style.
通常的格式是这三大段。
Was that they were divided into three big paragraphs.
某某人几岁的时候生的某某人。
So and so at the age of so.Such and such had so and so as a son.
然后这某某人以后又活了几岁。
And this so and so lived so many years.
到他死的时候，共活了几岁。
When he died, he had lived a total of X many years.
好比第五章，我们看第三节。
So for example, chapter 5, let's look at verse 3.
他说亚当活到130岁，就生了一个儿子。
So when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son.
然后第四节。亚当生了赛特以后，又再世800年。
After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years.
然后最后结论，亚当共活了930岁。
And then what followed was, in the conclusion, Adam lived 930 years.
就死了。
And then he died.
同样的，接下来他的下一代赛特活到105岁。
Same thing. His next generation, Seth, lived 105 years.
他生了以挪士。
He became the father of Enosh.
然后生了以挪士以后，他又活了807年。
After he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years.
然后第八节说，赛特共活了912岁就死了。
And altogether, Seth lived 912 years, and then he died.
好，所以你看那个格式都完全一样。
So the style of writing was the same.
你看十一章同样的记载。
Let's look at chapter 11 the same way.
同样的基本格式。
The basic style.
某某人几岁时候生某某人，以后又活了几岁，以后他死的时候共活了几岁。
So and so lived so many years, and he had a son, and then afterwards he lived so many more years, and then altogether he lived so many years, and then he died.
在这个里面，其中有一个字很重要，是所谓的生。
This one word is very important, which is in Chinese the word birth. In English, I believe is like.
那有时候，这个生字可以用另外一个词来取代，就是某某人的儿子。
And another word was so and so's son.
或者说是某某人的父亲。
Or so and so's father.
或者说某某人生子。
Or so and so's grandson.
所以这个生字哈，这个 beget 或者是 bore a son beget， 通常是指可以画上一个等号，是指的某某人的父亲成为某某的先祖。
In old language, you use the word beget or begot. You can almost use an equation mark that means to be a father of.
所以英文是说 the father of 或者是 the son of， 这个 father 跟这个 son 有一个问题。
So in English, you either use the father of the son of. There's a question concerning this father and a son.
当我说某某我是某某人的 father.
When I say I'm so and so's father.
或者说我是某某人的儿子.
When I say I'm so and so's son.
在这里的应用，这个 father 可以是指着我的前面的一代、前面的两代、前面的三代.
When I talk about my father, I can point to two generations before me.One generation before me, and so on.
或者说可以指着某某人的儿子，可以是指着我的儿子，指着我的孙子，可以指着我的曾孙。
When I talk about my son, I can talk about my son, my grandson, my great grandson, and on down.
比如说我的父亲有三个孩子。
Say my father has three sons.
那当我的父亲在一百岁的时候生了我。
When my father had me, he was 100 years old.
当我的父亲在一百二十岁的时候生了一个Peter the Second.
And then he has another son. When he was 120 years, he had a son called Peter the Second.
然后到了他140岁的时候，又有一个儿子叫 Peter the Third.
When he was 140 years old, he has another son called Peter the Third.
那我是 Peter the First.
Say, I'm the Peter the First.
好，那另外有一种可能性，圣经的记载就是当以后我又生了儿子了。
And so, the way the Bible recorded it, say, I would, in the future, I have another son.
那我的儿子又生了儿子了。
My son also has a son.
那我的儿子又生了儿子了。
So my son also has another son.
假定说那个我的三代后的那个孙子是 Peter the Seven.
Say for example, three generations later, that's a grandchild, great-grandchild, his name is Peter the Seven.
圣经的作者要表达一个，因为在这一个系列里面，我不是一个重要人物。
And because I am not an important figure through this line, this family line.
而是那个七世孙是一个重要人物。
But this Peter VII is an important person.
所以圣经的作者就把它写成我的父亲就是 He is the son of the Peter VII. He is the father of the Peter VII.
So the Bible scholar, the way that the Bible writer, the way that he would write it, was saying that Peter VII was the son of his father.
好，所以这是一个基本的格式。
So this is a basic style.
如果你明白这个基本的格式，
If you understand this basic style,
那你在这个算年数的时候，你就不会有这个问题。
When you count the years, you will not have this problem.
所以有一些人，他们尝试着想从创世纪或者整本圣经来算出到底人类的历史总共有多少年。
Some people would like to look at all these genealogy and try to figure out how many years a human being lived.
那有过这样的好几次的记录，最准确的有一个人，他把它算到4004年。
The most accurate account, he counted that there were altogether 4,004 years.
甚至不止提到年，那么这个学者，他提到说，不但是年，他还说是在4004年。B.C. 的10月24号9:30世界创造了。
And he was so accurate that he actually counted it was 4,004 years ago, ten months.
9:30 a.m.
The world was born.
45 meridian time. 还把那个 中原标准时间的那个线写出来。如果我们明白创世纪或者其他以后的这种族谱的写法是有这样的可能性，那没有一个人可以正确的把这个时间算准。
So if you know this general principle of kind of genealogy, then you can say that as nobody can accurately pinpoint how long.
绝对不用尝试要把我们先祖的年岁一个一个加起来，盼望得到一个正确的人类历史的年龄。
So you really don't need to add up all your ancestors' years, how many years they lived, to figure out how long the human history has run.
好，这是有关生这个问题。
So that has all this question about the word beget.
第二个困难的字是所谓的天日 day.
Another difficult word is the word of date.
这个日子在原文或者在创世纪基本上至少有三种用法。
There's three different uses in terms of this word.
在第一章第五节。
Chapter 1, verse 5.
这里的天呢，第一章第五节。
Chapter 1, verse 5.
神称光为昼，称暗为夜，有晚上有早晨，这是头一日。
God called the light day, and darkness he called night, and that was even. That was the morning.
所以这里经文说称光为昼，这个昼我们翻成昼其实就是 day， 同一个字 ，yom。
So when we talk about light, we talk about daytime, which is actually the day.
那希伯来文的这个字 yom 在这里指的是 daylight， 是光的意思。
The word yom means daylight.
那你怎么样来算天呢？
So how do you count the days?
这里天就是指光。
So in here, day means light.
那它有多长呢？
How long is a day?
We don't know.
We don't know.
第二个用法在一章十四节。
Another usage was in chapter 1, verse 14.
那这里说神说天上要有光体，可以分昼夜，做记号，定节令，日子，年岁。这里说定节令，日子的日子是 day.
And then God says, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years.
如果从我们现实今天的经验，我们根据这个前后文来看的话，天上要有光体，可以分昼，可以分夜，可以做记号，可以定节令。那这是一个有关季节性的、日期性的。所以我们从今天的经验可以明白，这里的日子是二十四小时。
So in here, the Bible tells us there are some lights in the expanse of the sky to separate days from night and the seasons and all. So we know that a day can be accounted as 24 hours.
所以这里的日子是 a 24 hours day. 这是
the day is a 24 hours.
从我们的经验来明白这个经文。
So this is how we use our own experience to understand this passage.
第三次出现在第二章第四节。
And the third usage was in chapter 2.The first four.
这里说创造天地的来历，在耶和华神造天地的日子乃是这样。
This is account of heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and heavens.
好，这里的日子乃是这样，这个日子是同样一个字 ，yom 是 day 的意思。
So this word day was the same word yom.
那根据这一节经文跟它的前后关系，我们明白这个字在这里表达的是一个纪元或者是一个时代、一个时期。
So actually, this word is used to signify a period, a time, an era.
所以关于创世纪在这里有关日子的七天的创造，那个时间的多长。
So in Genesis, talk about the creation in 7 days. How long the 7 days actually?
我们就有这样的困难。
So we have this difficulty.
那有了这些基本概念以后。
So we have this basic concept.
好，我们可以正式进入今天的信息。
Then we can enter today's message.
这是一个基本的概念。
So this is a basic principle.
那在第四章，创世纪。
Genesis chapter four.
今天早上我们查到第十六节结束。
And I will study up to verse 16, and then we'll end.
从第四章第十七节，一直到第五章三十一节，我要用这个做一个例范来谈到族谱到底在或者是家谱在圣经中间有什么样的基本信息。
Now we're going to go on from chapter 4:17 to chapter 5 verse 31, and we'll look at the genealogy, the message from the earliest account of genealogy.
很显然，在第四章跟第五章记载两个不同的家谱。
So very obvious, in chapter 4 and chapter 5, they're recording two very different genealogies.
这两个家谱都同样是亚当的后代。
And these two genealogies were both descendants of Adam.
我记得有一次我在谈这个家谱的时候，弟兄姐妹们觉得很烦。
I remember that one time I talked about genealogy, the brothers just really dreaded.
他们说, 为什么要谈家谱呢? 这个不要讲了。
I said, well, why are you talking about genealogy?
这个,
let's skip it.
这个没什么好说的。
There's nothing really good to talk about.
也是那么干燥, 听这里有什么意思?
It's also so dry, and there's no meaning.
可是我盼望我们即使是干燥, 那我们还是要听。
But hopefully,
家谱。
So there are two genealogies here. One is the genealogy of Cain.
一个是赛特的家谱。
And then the other one was the genealogy of
who? 赛特,
Seth.
那你已经明白了,该隐是不属神的,赛特是属神的。
So very obviously, Cain did not belong to God, but Seth belonged to God.
那我相信 上帝启示这两章经文的时候，把这两个家谱摆在一起，一定有它的意义。
So I believe that when God put these two genealogies side by side, have definitely
他是要让我们看见这两个家谱，我们应当有抉择权，盼望是在这样的家谱谱系里面，还是盼望在这样的谱系里面。
So hopefully we can have a choice whether we want to be in one genealogy or the other genealogy.
事实上来说，当然我没有办法。 选择我是被生下来的，从这一支系下来就是这样下来，我根本没有抉择权。
Although we cannot choose which family line we're going to born to.
但从属灵的意义来说，如果我愿意跟随主的道路，愿意走他的方向，愿意成为一个属灵的领袖，走这样的道路的话，那么我的下一代会受这样的影响，表示我们愿意在这样的族谱里面来行。
But in a spiritual sense, that we do have a choice whether we want to follow God, we want to be a spiritual leader. If we do, the next generation will also follow our footsteps, and then in that way, then we can actually choose which family line we want to belong to.
那这两章经文提到两件事，怎么样能够选择留在属神的族谱里呢？
These two passages tell us how we can choose to remain in God's family line.
第一件事情就是不一味的随俗。
And then the first principle is not to drift away easily.
第二就是不仅仅活着。
And the second principle is not to merely survive.
所以我们先看第一件事情。
So let's look at the first thing.
什么叫做不一味随俗呢?
What does it mean by not drifting away?
从该隐以后，我们看见经文，发现文化开始有进展了。
After Cain, we can see that there was a kind of like a growth in terms of culture.
经文说他建造了一座城。
The Bible recorded that he built a city.
很显然这是城市文化的开始。
And obviously, this is the beginning of city culture.
所以经文继续说有住帐篷的，有畜牧业的。
So the Bible tells us that there are people who live in a tent, who raise sheep.
除了这个之外， 21节、22节还提到尤巴是一切弹琴吹箫之人的祖师。
And also there was like some people, they were the father of those who played the harp and the flute.
还有一个人,土巴该隐。
And there was a person called Tubal-Cain.
他是打造各样铜器、铁器、利器的。
He was a guy who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron.
所以显然文化有了发展,这里有音乐,有手工,有艺术,文化开始起来了。
So here you see the development of culture. There was music, there was craft and art.
但是你会发现文化的进步并没有带来道德的提升。
But you see that the flourishing of culture did not go up side by side with people's moral standards.
19节说拉麦娶了两个妻子。
In verse 19, they talk about this person called Lamech. He married two women.
这是圣经中第一次有关多妻的记载，从拉麦开始。
And this is the first recording of polygamy, a person of marrying more than one person.
从此多妻就进入人类的历史。
So the practice of polygamy entered human history.
接下来23节，拉麦对他的两个妻子说道：“有人伤了他，有人损了他，他也索性我会把他们害了，杀了。”
Verse 23, Lamech said to his wives, "These two people listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words, since I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me."
所以该隐的后裔是对文化带来了很多的贡献。
So the descendant of Cain had brought a lot of the good things, contributed a lot to the cultural growth.
但这些文化的进展，文化的贡献，并没有带来生命本质的改变。
But they have not brought out the change of the basic human nature.
基本的原因是，当亚当夏娃他们违背神，离开神以后，他们已经心中没有神，只有自己。
Because the basic reason was that after Adam and Eve had left the Garden of Eden, people did not have God in their hearts.
当然不是说他们完全不要上帝了。
It's not not that they completely did not leave God.
乃是说他们和上帝的关系跟原本上帝造他们要有的那种关系已经有了缺陷了。
But to say that that is a different relationship between God and man, different from the original intention of God when God created man.
慢慢从以上帝为关系为中心的思想、生活体验，转成以我为中心的生活。
So they have turned away from a God-centered life to a self-centered life.
所以这个时候，人就想要用自己堕落的理性来发言，代替上帝发言。
So they want to speak out. People want to speak out for their own instead of speaking for God.
上我们谈到该隐杀了他的兄弟亚伯以后，上帝对他的咒诅和审判是要他流荡漂离在世上。
So after Cain has killed his brother Abel, the Lord had judged him, and his punishment was that he would become a restless wanderer, wander everywhere.
所以现在到这里四章十七节，该隐也尝试着要用自己的手，就是他自己堕落的理性来救赎他自己。
And so here in the following passage, we read that Cain wanted to save himself with his own hand.
所以他在漂流的地方盖了一座城。
So he built a city.
这也是代表他用自己堕落的理性代替上帝发表。
So he was kind of manifest himself with his corrupted nature.
上帝的心意是设立一个配偶来帮助他。
The method, the God's intention is to establish a partner to help him and assist him.
虽然从经文，圣经本身并没有提到，圣经没有提到说拉麦为什么要娶两个妻子。
Although the scripture did not say why Lamech had to have two women as wives.
但如果你可以去问那个拉麦。
But if you ask Lamech,
他一定可以告诉你很多理由。
I'm sure he can give you a lot of reasons.
或可以告诉你一大堆的缘由。
He can give you a bunch of excuses.
很显然的，我要提到这是一种人在堕落以后，理性用自己，用靠自己离开上帝，所谓自己编造的一些故事。
And what I'm telling you is that human beings always try after the corruption to explain the corrupted way with their own ideas.
同样的，你可以问他说，为什么你何必要生气到一个地步把人杀死呢？
And you can say you don't have why? How come you come to so be so angry that you have to kill someone?
我相信他也会有很多的理由。
I'm sure he has a lot of excuses as well.
Again, 这是用人的理智，用人堕落的理性代替上帝来发表言论。
Again, this is how human beings use the corrupted nature, the corrupted mind to speak out for the Lord.
什么是堕落的理性呢
？What is a corrupted nature?
理性是好的。
Corrupted rationale was good.
但是当那个理性是以我为中心，而不是连于上帝原本创造给我的那种理性，不是那种归回上帝真理理性的理性，那种理性是错误的。
Our intelligence is good, but in a corrupted intelligence, you replace God's intelligence with our corrupted intelligence, it was wrong.
难怪这堕落的理性一直到今天，我们有各种不同的文化的发展。
So this corrupted intelligence.Had caused us to have all kinds of cultural development.
但却并不能带来道德的提升。
However, it would not allow us to have a moral revival.
道德的提升还是人本上帝给我们形象样式里面一种很基本的功能的发表。
And to develop our moral is something that the Lord has given us in a basic human nature.
所以基本上人的本质上有一些向善的，有一些想帮助人，有一些做好事的，这是很本能的。很本能的事情。
It's a very basic nature of a human being to want to do good, to want to help others.
但是还不够。
But that's not enough.
除非把那生命原上帝原来供给我们的那全然的生命再一次和他连结关系建立起来，这个更丰盛的生命的本质，如果没有连结于基督，连结于上帝，那文化的发展不可能带来生命更直接的、更深刻的改变。
Unless our lives is connected back to the abundant life from God, all the cultural development and all the intelligence that we have now is not enough to change a world.
所以这几天有机会跟一些弟兄姐妹在私下也谈到一些问题。
So in these last few days, we have some opportunity to talk to brothers and sisters about some questions.
事实上，在整个教育的制度，美国的教育制度绝对没有办法保持中立的。
Naturally, in the education system in this in the United States, they really cannot take a middle stand.
很多人谈到，甚至这已经在美国发生，要把基督教从公立学校校园中间清除出去。
But actually, what happened now is that Christianity is being thrown out of public school.
这事情也已经在美国立法。
And this is a law of American law.
美国还甚至说不能在教室里面张贴摩西的十诫。
And it's no longer legal for someone to post the Ten Commandments on a schoolroom.
在上课之前，禁止学生有片刻的安静祷告。
And before school starts, this is not allowable to have a silent prayer.
因为他们 会反抗说，只要你安静坐在那里祷告，那就表明你是基督徒。这种宗教的信息不能在学校里面发生。
Because if you have a silent prayer, that shows that you're a Christian, and you really should not bring religion to the classroom.
只要是在学校，课前课后你不能研读圣经。
And before class or after class, you should not study the Bible in school.
有关上帝创造的这种创造论，在课本中间几乎全部的剔除。
Is they have almost totally deleted the theory of creation from all the textbooks.
但我们明白，中性的教育在教育的本身事实上是不可能的。
And you know that education cannot take a middle stand.
因为你在教育的同时，你必定是在教导一些价值观，教导一些无法中立性的一些教育事项。
When you are teaching someone, education has to have some value to go with it. And you cannot teach an education without a certain value.
那如果不能把基督教的这种精神，基督教的教育带在学校，那么其他的方法可以的话，那也是表明他们没有办法中立的，这也不是一个中立的做法。
If you cannot take Christianity into the classroom, some other faith or belief would have to enter the classroom, and that was supposed to be wrong as well.
1973年。
1973,
在纽约最高法院决定了一条法律。
In Supreme Court, they have decided one law.
立法机构可以决定什么样的人才是真正的人。
The legal system can decide how a person can be a real person.
你有没有看到这些事情？是的，我们需要来探讨。但那你要明白，那是人在堕落以后的理性，用自我中心为观念来看这种所谓的 situational ethic。我不相信 situational ethic 这种方式，在人堕落理性里面不得又不对问题要来发掘问题解决问题，但这个问题解决不了。
So this is a way to show you that how human beings use a corrupted intelligence to solve problems, but you can see that this problem cannot be solved.
所以在纽约的最高法院，他们决定，只有法院他们有决定人的存活的权利。
So that finally the Supreme Court decided only the court can judge thatIf anybody has a right to live.
1979年 在德拉瓦州
Delaware
首席法官他们也后来决定公布了一个法律。
So a judge also announced another law.
有一个医生，他用致命的这个简美的化合物，是一种化学药品，注射在人体里面。
And it was a doctor who injects some sort of a poison into a person's vein.
然后因为他这样的注射，结果是两位还没有出生的婴孩死亡。
And because of what he did, he had caused the death of two unborn children.
所以这个结果就使医生呢要负担因不当治疗。
Child mistreatment.
Oh, okay. So that was considered child mistreatment, child abuse.
后来那两，抱歉。
Malpractice.
那我想我这里记载有点应当是这个在这个个案是这样，这两个没有出生的婴孩生下来以后有些毛病，但是医生受控告，就是为什么在这两个孩子没有让他死亡。
Oh, actually, what happened was that these two unborn child, they were diagnosed to have, they will have problem if they were allowed to be born, so that the doctor was accused of not letting these two kids die, to the unborn baby die.
所以那个法律后来决定，这位医生要为这个孩子所带来的各样的诉讼的这个所花的钱，以后的代价要付钱。
So this doctor, because he did not perform abortion, so he would have to pay for all the living expenses and everything, medical care, what, everything for these two children.
因为他没有死，这两个孩子死掉。
Because he did not abort these two babies.
在我们印第安纳州也有这一个个案。
In Indiana, there was this case too.
在 Bloomington,
In Bloomington.
有一家医院。
In the hospital.
有一个孩子生下来他有缺陷。
When he was born, he was handicapped.
那父母亲决定不要他了。
So the parents decided they did not want him.
所以他就决定可以不给孩子有任何的食物。
So they decided they would not give any food to this baby.
所以这个孩子就被放在一个这个箱子里面，放在这个门锁起来。
So they were being, this baby was being put into the box, and the door was locked.
护士在这个走道走来走去。
And the nurse was just walking back and forth in the hall.
孩子听到这个孩子的，护士听到孩子的哭声。
When the nurse heard the crying of the baby.
但他们被禁止，被法律禁止来喂他。
But they were forbidden by the law to feed these babies.
所以这个孩子婴孩就不得不在这个被锁住的箱柜里面，后来在里面死掉。
So eventually, this baby was died in this locked box.
那这是我们明白很有名的所谓的 infant baby doll.
This is what the
baby doll.
Famous baby doll.
那这个法后来被通过了。
So finally, this law was passed.
在法庭里面有很大的辩论。
There are a lot of debates in the court.
从地方法院一直到上诉法院到最高法院。
To the regional court all the way to the Supreme Court.
他们的判定的结论是这个孩子没有生存的权利。
So the decision was this child does not have any right to live.
他的父母亲决定不要他。
Because the parents decided not to want him.
因为父母亲决定不要他，所以以后的立案就成为有一个先例，只要父母亲不要，孩子就可以在柜子里面活活的饿死。
So this become a law that any time, this will become a precedent for the following cases, that any time the parents do not want to have a certain child, this baby would be put into the box.And be allowed to die.
当然，我提到这些都是很特殊的例子。
Of course, these are very special cases.
但我要点要明白要说的就是，人在这种堕落的理性之后，所要探讨的这些问题，已经不是存在人没有办法站在中立里面，绝对不可能说离开一个中立，势必需要有点价值观念，势必要有一点，你不是这样就是那样，我们需要有一个价值的观念原则。
So what I'm trying to say is that human being would have to take a stand. We cannot sit on the fence.And we have to bring in our value when we make a judgment.
道德岂是可以用立法来决定的吗？
And in fact, can the law decide on the moral?
我们听过当年希特勒他要培养特高品质的特高优良的品种。
And I'm sorry.
希特勒当时要培养一些比较高超人。
Oh, okay. We heard about Hitler want to breed a superior race.
你知道他把多少人活活的埋死？
You remember how many people he killed?
今天为道德立法只不过是另外一种变相的这种杀害，变相的这种做法而已。
And this is kind of so-called moral law, moral ethics. It's always like a mutated nature.
92年美国大选开始了。
And we have started the election, the race for the election in 1992.
几个问题是 hot topic.
And the thing that debating is all hot topics.
堕胎合法化。
Like abortion, legalizing abortion.
女权运动。
Feminist movement.
所以每一个候选人，他们在这些事情上，他们开始没有办法，最好能够保持中立，都不 take side， 要不然他们要失去一些选民。
All these candidates, because they want to preserve their image or whatever, they did not want to take side.
但我们要问的是，我们基督徒，我明白，我们绝对没有办法找到一个中间的路线。
But as Christian, we understand that we cannot just sit on the fence.
你没有办法在一件事情中间靠着我们人堕落理性，因为我们人在那时候是以我为中心，以我的环境，以我的利益，而不是以上帝为中心。
Because the corrupted nature of human mind only see our immediate circle. We are seeing our surroundings through our individual view.
不是讲了三分之一。
I only cover one third of the message.
讲
了
现在太早，
我
们太早吃饭了，吃不下。
好，我简单的说哈。
So let me just put it simply.
当我们人可以把一些我们想不要的，或者我们觉得与我无关的，或者觉得为了我的利益把一些事情合法化的时候，我们什么事情都做得出来。
If we want to just make something legalized because this is to my advantage, we can do all kinds of things.
这是在 Indianapolis 的一位律师亲自告诉我的话。
And this is what a lawyer in Indianapolis told me personally.
他说：“你知道我们律师做什么吗？”
You know what kind of things we lawyers do?
律师做事就是专门在制造一些法律对律师有益。
The lawyers always want to set up some laws that is beneficial to us lawyers.
所以那是律师的一个责任。
So this is one of the responsibility of lawyers.
不是，当然有时候一些立法是相当好，是多数人的，但是多数的时候那个立法是与己有关。
Sure, there's a lot of laws that's for the majority. It's beneficial to the majority, but also there's a lot of laws that are beneficial to just some small individuals.
二十五节到二十六节第四章，我们看见转机。
第几章？
第四章。
Chapter 25 to 26, we see that there's a change, a turn.
这里说亚当跟夏娃后来又生了一个儿子，名叫赛特。
Says that Adam and Eve have another son. His name was Seth.
Seth has a son called Enosh. 这里说 Enosh 开始人才开始怎么样？求告耶和华的名。
So at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord.
什么是求告耶和华的名呢？
What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord?
求告耶和华的名是指公开的开始敬拜上帝。
So That means to publicly, openly worship God.
从以挪斯开始有集体的敬拜生活。
So from the time of Enosh, they have like organized worship.
该隐是用自己的手想要来救自己。
Cain wanted to save himself with his own hand.
他以靠自己闻名。
And he was trying to build a name for himself.
但是以挪斯开始以靠神为生活的中心。
But Enosh tried to have a God, live a God-centered life.
该隐的后代是以文化的进步留名。
Cain's descendants, they built a name for themselves through the establishment in culture.
但很清楚的，赛特的子孙却着重宗教的信仰上面的这方面的发展。
The descendants of Seth really relied on the building up of religion.
所以这个在当时是一个很大的转机。
So at that time it's a sharp turn.
是一个属灵的复兴。
And it's a spiritual revival.
同样的，面对今天这种世俗的文化，我们也需要这样的恳求，归向上帝，祈求在我们这个堕落理性的世界中间，我跟上帝的关系要开始建立。
So the same thing in our own time, in our own age, we need to ask Lord so to reestablish a correct relationship.
当我们的理性归向那引导启示我们的真理的时候，回到那真正源头的时候，我们才比较有一个正确的思考方向来评判、来思考发生在我们周围的每一个细琐的事项。
It's only until we subject our rationale, our intelligence back to our Lord that we can really objectively look at our surroundings.
也只有在那个时候，这些问题，譬如堕胎，譬如女权运动，譬如离婚再婚，譬如性开放，这些我们才可能比较带着上帝的眼光，神给我们启示的真道来做批判。
It's only then that we can judge all these controversial topics like that we face today, like abortion, divorce, sexual liberation, all these things. It's only until we subject back to our Lord.That we can look at these things from the Lord's point of view.
比较有一个尖锐的、比较有扎实的一个根基，来对今天的一些主流文化，我们可以来重新定位。
So we can reestablish our value in this kind of culture that we live in nowadays.
所以这是我们今天这样的信息。我想关于族谱，上帝把这两个属神的跟属世的族谱摆在一起，让我们看见这些事情。
So this is what God wants us to see when He put the two genealogies side by side.
我想我一些资料我要跳过去。
So I had to skip through some materials.
我想我最后讲一些对我们的挑战好了。
So let us just give you some challenge in conclusion.
我们真正需要回到神的面前，求告上帝的名。
We need to return to the Lord and call on His name.
如果在我们中间，你还带着一种慕道的心情，带着一些要认识真理的一些朋友们。
If you are still here, that you're trying to learn more about the Lord,
我相信我们可以仍然继续的漂流，继续的在各处摸索，继续的在那里观看。
I'm sure you can still kind of drift around and wander here and there to observe.
但是上帝的真理，这个世界是上帝所造，他在圣经中所启示给我们的真道。
But this world is created by God, and then His truth.The truth also comes from him.
值得你深深的思考。
It's worth your deep meditation.
这个世界几千年过去了。
And several thousand years have passed in this.
我们真的看见文化上有一些改变。
We see that there's changes in culture.
但不同的文化真的没有办法带来更高的与生命结实产生关系的一些结果。
But these changes in development and culture would not lead to a change in life.
我们从很多人他们信主的过程、信主那些经历，我们可以证实这一件事情。
From the different salvation experience of different people, one thing we can testify.
有一次我听到一个朋友，后来现在是做牧师，叫吕代豪，他做见证。
One time I heard a friend who's now a pastor, he gave this testimony.
那么这样的人物跟你跟我一样是文化的产物。
And this person is also a product of our culture, just like us.
那简单的介绍他，后来他成为一个被关在监狱里面，因为杀人犯罪。而成为一个这样的一个被关的人。
This person he eventually became a murderer and he was being locked up in prison.
但他自己这样见证说。
But he gave this testimony.
父母的教导没有办法改变我。
The teaching of our parents was not able to change me.
师长的谆谆教诲没有办法改变我。
The teaching from my teachers was not able to change me.
军训的管训没有办法改变我。
The military was not able to change me.
法律的制裁也没有办法改变我。
And the penalty of the law was not able to change me.
但是当有一天有一个人进到监狱，把上帝的道和他分享的时候，他从神的话语里面，他的心打开了。
But one day someone entered prison and shared with him the word of God. And because of the word of God, opened his heart.
当他自己心里面的那种意志愿意归向上帝的真理，他投向上帝的时候，那个人就转变了。
When he was willing to subject his rationale, his intelligence to the Lord, he was able to experience that change.
我们盼望文化有一些进步。
We pray that culture can improve.
但这种文化需要是在上帝的真理所引导中间的文化。
But this kind of culture has to be led by the truth of God.
是否让我们彼此这样勉励？
So let us encourage each other likewise.
好好研读上帝的话。
And pay attention and really study the word of God.
扎根在上帝的真理里头。
And to bear root in the truth of God.
在一些道德性的抉择，在一些现在围绕在我们每一个环境周围的一些主题，让我们用比较敏锐的上帝的思想来判断它。
Let's use the thought of God to make a decision of all the controversial topics that we face today.
一旦有这样的判断，不要觉得应当保持中立，乃是如果上帝这样启示我们，那在信息真理中间彼此这样研讨，有这样应当走的道路，那我们应当要绝对站住。
If there's absolute truth in God, and then since we know that, we should take a stand instead of sit on the fence.
如果你有投票权，
if you have a right to vote,
好好去看看这些候选人他们的政见。
Let's take a look at the testimony of all these candidates.
看看他们所代表的立场是什么。
And see what kind of stand they are taking.
他们是有神的人吗？
Are they people who belong to God?
还是他们是一个无神论者？
Or the atheists?
我们不反对无神论者。
We do not reject atheists.
但是我们在一些事件的事上，我们应当来支持有神论的人，他们尊重上帝，因为这样的真理引到文化，真理引到这个社会，必然是应当我们采取的一个步骤。
But then we need to take some practical action to stand behind those who believe in God, because the God of truth will lead our culture.
好，我第二段以后有机会再讲。
If I have an opportunity later on, then we'll share the second half.
我们一起低头祷告。
Let's bow our head.
天父，谢谢你。
Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks.
你的圣经就是你自己的话语。
Is the Bible is your own word.
是你的恩典存留给我们。
Is your grace you have given to us.
叫我们可以研读得到智慧。
So that we can study and obtain wisdom.
叫我们可以领受接受它而得着生命。
So that we can receive your words and receive life.
谢谢你为了爱我们，把你自己独生儿子赐给我们。
Thank you for that you love us so much that you have given us your only son.
我们从你儿子身上清清楚楚地看见上帝自己。
And from your son, we can clearly see the Father.
帮助我们在这个世上，在文化中间做一个领导文化、以真理带动文化的见证人。
Help us to be testimony, to be witness.For the truth, and the truth will lead our culture.
更帮助我们从属灵的眼光跟角度，使我们自己的族谱是留在属上帝的族谱之间。
And moreover, help us to use our spiritual judgment to want to stay in the godly line.
做赛特的子孙。
To be the descendant of Seth.
是求告耶和华的名。
The first people who we call on the name of God.
我们这样祷告，是奉耶稣基督的圣名。
We pray in Jesus Christ's precious name.
Amen.